Well, last week, you may remember we were in verse number 5 of this psalm, and we watched as three different groups of people were identified or referenced. There were the ungodly, the sinners, and the righteous, and talked about in verse number 5 in context of the ungodly, how the ungodly would not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation or in the assembly of the righteous. And what I tried to bring out was this, is that according to the Scripture, there is coming a day when judgment will take place. There is coming a day when verdicts and decrees will be given for the lives of individuals and how they lived their lives. And the Scripture just simply records that for those who are ungodly, for those who do not really consider God in their thoughts or their actions, they will not be able to withstand the judgment or the scrutiny or the all-seeing eye of God. And the sinners, those who live with no regard for the sin in their life, they live however they choose to, they will not be identified in the congregation of the righteous, those who are striving to do what is right and live for the Lord. And so I asked us to consider last week the simple thought, the simple question, are we comfortable with how we are living right now before God? Because you and I know if we're trying to live right. You and I know in our heart of hearts if we are truly striving to walk according to the truth of God's Word in our life. And it's something that we need to live with and be mindful of on a regular basis and on a daily basis. Am I comfortable? Am I comfortable with how I'm living right now, should I stand before the Lord? Tonight we're going to finish this psalm, and I was talking to Susie about it this afternoon, and she said, verse number 6, what is that? And I said, oh, it's just verse number 6, you know. And she memorized this psalm years ago, and she ran through it in her mind real quick. Then she looked at me, and she kind of tilted her head, and she said, it's just a recap, isn't it? And I said, yeah, it is. And so tonight, it's not going to be a lot of new information. It's not going to be a lot of new thoughts, but it's going to be kind of a recap of what we have talked about already. And I, again, hope that this will be a help to us. But I want us to think about something just real quick as we enter into this time of looking at the Scripture. I mentioned this morning that all of us have a story. Every one of us have a story, and so that means that I have a story. And many of you are familiar with a portion of my story because I have shared it with you through the years, and many of you have met my parents who were a part, obviously, of the story that they helped create in my life. But because of my parents and their influences and then how they tried to influence me, my parents tried to teach me a sense of right and wrong, okay? This is right, this is wrong. This is black, this is white. And I grew up in a home where there was not a lot of gray area, okay? So I know that from a very early age, I began being introduced to this idea, this thought, and this truth that some things are right, some things are wrong. End of discussion. That is how it is. So as a child, there are certain opportunities presented to you where you are given this chance to make a decision, will I do what is right or will I do what I know is wrong? And that's not something that was unique in my life. That was a part of your growing up as well, was it not? You were given these opportunities to make a choice, to make a decision. Will I do what I know is right or will I do what I know is wrong? And so there were times in my childhood, and again, you will understand this, but there were times in my childhood that I did things simply because I knew they were right, and I avoided doing other things simply because my parents had already taught me that is wrong. I remember growing up across the street with a kid, you know, and we were best friends up until we went our different directions in our adult years. And his dad was a smoker, okay? And my parents wouldn't touch it, and they wouldn't have had it in their house or anything of that nature. But I remember one day being over at my friend's house, and I saw one of my friend's, or his dad's, cigarettes there in the garage. I looked at that, and I just had this disdain for cigarettes. Oh, nasty cigarettes. Who would want one of those? And I just knew in my mind, wrong, 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 okay? And I had no appeal, or it had no appeal in my life. Does this make sense? Don't get upset. I'm just using an illustration here, okay? I remember going to a ball game one time with my uncle, and there was alcohol all around us. You know, it was a professional ball game, and there was alcohol all around us. And I just had this awareness, this is not what Christians do. Christians don't drink. And so as a child, I understood this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong, based upon what my parents taught me. Now, that being the case, that did not make for a perfect childhood. Surprise, surprise, right? That did not make for a perfect childhood because there were times in my life when I was still presented with an opportunity where I needed to make a choice. Will I do what I know is right or will I do what I know is wrong? And these situations were not cigarettes or alcohol. These were things that actually appealed to my flesh. You know, alcohol has never been an attraction to me, and I've never had an attraction to cigarettes. But of course, growing up, there were certain things like riding your bike around the corner when you weren't supposed to. We're talking heavy stuff. And you know, maybe going past the tree that your parents had told you, you don't ride your bike past that tree, or you're not going to do that, or whatever it may be. And so there were these times in life where I was presented with this opportunity. I've got to make a choice. Will I do what is right? Will I do what is wrong? And many times I chose to do what is right, but not because of this strong sense of conviction that this is the right thing to do. So why did I do what was right? Very simple. The four-letter word that is fear. Fear. What was I fearful of? What was I afraid of? Dad and Mom. Primarily Mom. Because as I've mentioned before, Mom did not wait till Dad got home. Mom was more than willing to address it if she found out about it. Mom was more than willing to take care of it. And Dad was just a bonus set of discipline if he chose to do that. And so there were many times in which I did right, not because of this sense of conviction, not because of this great sense of just understanding that I don't want to do wrong. Sometimes as a child, I just did right because I was afraid of what the consequences would be should I be caught doing something that I knew was wrong. Were you ever there as a child? Did fear ever keep you? And some of you are like, nope, fear never kept me from it. It should have, okay? Fear has kept us, many of us, I should say, from doing things that we knew we should not do because we were fearful of the consequences. Now, I don't know if you could identify with this or not, but I have not yet outgrown that. Does that make sense? There are still some things in life I'm not going to do because I know it is wrong. There are still some things I'm going to do because I know it is right. And I want to do what is right, and I want to avoid what is wrong. I still have a sense of conviction about me. Some of it was influenced by my parents, and of course some of it is just through the aging process and maturing and coming to certain conclusions in my own personal life. But there are just certain things I am not going to do, and there are certain things I will do because in my heart and mind, it is black or it is white, it is right or it is wrong, and it's just a very simple process for me. However, I still have a flesh, and it's a sinful flesh. And there are times that I am presented with these opportunities to do what maybe my flesh would want to do, but fear of the consequence keeps me from it. You can identify with this, right? I'm at a stage in life right now where I don't answer to a whole lot of people. But you know why I drive the speed limit more than anything? Because there are a few people out there that I am still accountable to. And if I see those lights flashing in my rearview mirror, you know what it makes me? It makes me fearful. And since I don't want to be fearful, I just go ahead and try to obey the speed limit because I'm fearful of the fine. I'm fearful of the rate increase on my insurance. Should it go on my record? And I'm just fearful of the whole process. So I say, you know what? It's just easier for me to drive the speed limit than it is to deal with all that mess. Same is true of the IRS. I don't know about you, but they scare me to death. And so I report every penny of income that I know about, and I'm teaching Nathan, you report everything that comes in by way of your yard business. And Hannah, now that she's working and she's paid cash and different things, I'm going to be teaching her, we report every penny. Not because we love the government, not because we support all the ways in which they spend the money, but you know what I'm afraid of? It's called an audit. I just don't want to deal with the process. So you understand how this works even today in our daily lives. There are certain things that influence us, not because it is right and wrong, black and white, whatever it may be, but we do it because there is this certain level of fear of the consequences, and that helps us do right. Now, some may say fear is not a good motivating factor. It may not be the best, but it is a good one. Fear kept me out of trouble many times as a kid, and fear has kept me out of trouble many times as an adult. And so obedience with fear is better than disobedience with no fear. Okay? That being said, I'm just going to make one more comment here and one more little thought, then we'll move on. It is obvious, if you look around, that not everyone in this world is fearful of the same things I am fearful of. See, I can be driving to Amarillo, and I can have the cruise control set on 75 miles an hour, and somebody pass me, and I'm thinking, how fast must they be going? They have apparently no fear of the authority in their life. I know people as you know people, and they will still cheat the IRS every chance they can from every direction they can, say things like this, say it was kind of done under the table, it's no big deal, if they don't know about it, they're not going to concern themselves with it. And I'm just thinking to myself, you and I are of a different mindset. You and I are of a different spirit. Obviously, what creates some fear in me does not create some fear in you. Now, probably doesn't mean much to any of us right now, but notice in verse number 6 what the psalmist says. In verse number 6 it says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Now again, let me just remind us of what it means for a person to be righteous. It means for them to be right or to be right with God. Okay? It does not mean they are perfect. It does not mean they are sinless. It does not mean that they are not prone to mistakes. But when a person is righteous, then their relationship with the Lord is right. It is what it is supposed to be as best as they can make it at that time. So it says in verse number 6, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." Well, what does it mean when it speaks of the way of the righteous? Well, it's talking about a manner of life or a direction. So the Lord knows the manner of life or the direction of the righteous. God is very much aware of the direction that a person who is right with Him is trying to take. So the Lord knows about it, which means that He has an understanding of it, that He has a perception of it, and that God is fully acquainted with it. So here is God, and He looks at those who are right with Him, those who are striving to live in obedience to Him. Here is what God does. He looks at their way, He looks at their direction, He looks at their manner of life, and He is perfectly, fully acquainted with how they are striving to live their life. So there may be someone who is striving to do what is right. It may seem like no one sees it. It may seem like no one takes note of it. Someone may be trying to do what is right at work, and it seems like no one appreciates it. It may be that a child is trying to do what is right at school, and it seems like no one notices and no one sees and no one, again, appreciates what that child is trying to do. But here's what the Scripture reminds us of, that when a person is striving to do that which is right, God is fully aware of it. And God fully sees it. And God knows when you and I are doing right, whether anyone else in this world is ever aware of it. That's encouraging. Do right. Why? Because God knows we are doing right. Now, if you think about that, the flip side of the coin is this, and it's stated in verse number 5, basically, and just in different words, if the Lord knows the way of the righteous, he also knows the way of the ungodly. So a person may strive to look good on the outside. The person may strive to look all prim and proper and holy and righteous on the outside. But if the person is living an ungodly way of life in their private life, well, we understand that God fully knows that as well. It's not as though someone has duped God or someone has fooled God or someone has deceived God. No, that is not at all how it works. Just as the Lord knows the way of the righteous, he also knows the way of the ungodly. So again, reiterating what verse number 5 said, where the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment because God sees everything and God knows everything. It's just, again, said in verse number 6, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. We know that he knows the way of the wicked as well, or the ungodly. But notice what it says in verse number 6 in the end. It says, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Now remember, we're recapping tonight. So don't leave here and say, he already said that. I know I already said this. Okay, we're recapping this idea. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Who are the ungodly? Well, they are obviously someone who is not right with God in their personal relationship with him, whether it be they have never been saved or they are in a backslidden condition and God is not factoring into their thoughts or into their actions. Okay, so God is fully aware of the ways of the ungodly, which means he is fully aware of their direction or their manner of life or who they are in their private life, maybe when no one else sees who they really are. Everything that you and I did in the past 7 days, whether it be right or wrong, we have to remember God saw it all. Every decision we made, every word that we spoke, every thought that we dwelt upon, every form of entertainment that we brought into our life, everything that we decided to laugh at, everything that we decided to engage in, everything that you and I did, whether anyone else saw it, whether people agreed with it or not, everything that you and I did, God was aware. Now that in mind, it is the ungodly who have the focus of attention right now. Someone says, well, talk about the godly, talk about the righteous. Well, we did that a few weeks ago. The ungodly have the focus of attention right now. And because God knows the way of the ungodly as well and as thoroughly as he knows the way of the righteous, the psalmist said that when a person lives ungodly, that it's going to lead to that person perishing. To that person perishing. Well, what does it mean when the scripture says that the way or the direction or the manner of life of the ungodly will cause them to perish? Well, the word perish, as you know, would have many different ideas or definitions associated with it. So let me give us just a couple of them. It means this, to experience ruin. To cause something to ruin or to go bad. It would mean this, to be destroyed or exterminated or to experience divine judgment. To experience divine judgment. Now think about that for just a moment. When a person is ungodly, that is obviously their manner of life. That is their direction. They don't really consider God in their thoughts and their actions. It doesn't matter what they look like on a Sunday morning. It doesn't matter what they look like on a Sunday night. It doesn't matter if they're involved in a ministry at the church. Listen, anyone can do that and not truly be right with God. That is accurate. Okay. So when a person is living a manner of life that is ungodly in their daily personal life, the writer says this, that person is going to perish, which means they shall be ruined, they will be destroyed, they will be exterminated, or they will experience divine judgment. Now what part of that sounds appealing? What part of that says to you or says to me, sign me up? See, for me, every bit of that sounds terrible. Every bit of that sounds horrible. I mean, to think that I could ruin my life, well, that's not what I want. To think that I could be destroyed, to think that I could be exterminated, to think that I could experience divine judgment. Listen, every bit of that sounds terrible, it sounds awful, it sounds like everything I want to avoid in my own personal life, whether it be in my daily life now or when it be when I stand before God and I give an account for my life. There is nothing about the idea of perishing that sounds enjoyable or delightful to me. So as I think about that, here's how my mind worked this week. And hopefully this will make sense to us, and hopefully you'll be able to follow it over the next couple of moments. But as I was thinking about my spiritual walk with the Lord, as I was thinking about my desire to walk with God, here is what I could say to you this evening. I have a desire to do what is right. I believe many of you have a desire to do what is right, to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. That is what you desire to do. I hope that's what you can say amen to, at least in your heart, if not audibly, that you have a desire to do what is right. Now, as you and I have been saved for any measure of time, what have we grown to be mindful of? We have grown to be mindful of this truth. This is right, this is wrong, this is appropriate, this is inappropriate, this is pleasing to God, this is displeasing to God. And because of that, there are just certain things in our life that we avoid because of our understanding of who God is and our desire to be right with Him. Again, there are just certain places I'm not going to go because I know it's not right. There are just certain people I'm not going to associate with because I know it's not right. There are just certain words that if God helps, they will never come out of my mouth because I know it's not right. There are just certain things that I will and will not do because I know before God this is right and I want to be right with God. But that doesn't mean that all my decisions are easy. Maybe your life is different than mine. But just because I have a desire to do what is right before God does not mean then that every opportunity that I face with the decisions that I have to make, it does not mean that every decision I have to make is just easy because of the sinful flesh that I still have, even though I desire to be right with God. Should I not have admitted that, or do you know exactly what I'm talking about? That there are just certain times in life that Satan will bring things into our life. And we know that God has allowed this to happen. And we know that there's a way to escape the temptation if we'll take advantage of it. But there are times in our life that certain temptations and certain opportunities are placed before us. And our flesh wrestles with that temptation before us. Now, I would love to be able to stand before you tonight and say, with every temptation, even the ones that truly, strongly appeal to my flesh, I was able to say no based upon my desire to be right with God. I wish I could say that. But you know what the reality is? Sometimes it's not where I'm at in my spiritual life. Sometimes it's not where I'm at in my walk with the Lord. Sometimes there are weaknesses and sometimes there are struggles and sometimes there are the moments where my flesh is particularly active in that situation. And there have been many times, and please don't act like you're shocked at this, but there have been many times I have failed to do what I know I should have done. I have responded in a way I shouldn't have responded, done things I shouldn't have done, said things I shouldn't have said. But many times I did get it right. But not because of my love for righteousness and holiness and I just want to serve the Lord. You know what has motivated me many times to do what is right in my walk with God? Fear. I'm fearful because of verses like verse number 6 that remind us what happens when we take the direction or the manner of life of the ungodly. See, if I get into this mindset, if I get into this direction, if I get into this manner of life, if I begin to go down this road of ungodliness where I don't consider God in this area of life, or I don't really consider God in this area of life, or I don't really consider Him in my thoughts or my actions here, if I begin to go down that road, you know where it'll eventually take me? You know where it'll eventually lead me to? It will eventually lead me to a place where I perish, not eternally necessarily, but where I can certainly be one who experiences ruin, whose life is destroyed, or I am the one who becomes the recipient of divine judgment. How many of us tonight have ever known people who have ruined their lives? We've all known people who have ruined their lives. We have all known people who have destroyed their lives, and we have certainly all known people who we could look back, and not with a critical spirit, not with a judgmental heart, not with a hateful attitude, but we could say something like this: you know what they are the recipient of right now? I truly believe that they are the recipient of God's divine judgment in their life because of how they are choosing to live right now with no regard for God and His authority in their life. So there are times that I look at the opportunities before me and the struggles and the temptations, however you'd like to refer to them tonight, and I think, you know, there's an appeal to that. That speaks to my flesh. That speaks to my carnal, sinful desires. But I don't want to do that. Why don't I want to do it? Because if I did that, I could destroy my family with one sinful act. I could destroy my reputation with one simple act. I could destroy whatever level of ministry that God has given me here in town. I could destroy that with one simple act. I mean, I could completely undo in one act everything that I have worked for 15 years to try to establish. I mean, I could absolutely ruin my family, my testimony, the ministry. There are so many things that I could ruin just in one simple act of disobedience. And because of the fear of what could be the consequence, I don't want to do it. It's just not worth it. I don't know if you would ever say this of your own personal experience, but I know there have been times that I've had the, I don't want to make this sound dramatic and heavier than it really is, but I know that I've had the for lack of better words, the judgment of God in my life. Maybe you've never felt that, but it was like I was going to run and I was just going to do my own thing and I was going to live how I wanted to live. Again, an ungodly way of life. I thought you were saved. I was saved, but it was still an ungodly way of life. And as a result of that, the sin was pleasurable for a season because it always is. But you reach a point where you realize this is not near as fun as it once was. This judgment that I'm under, this pain that I'm under, this misery that I'm under, it's not worth it. And so there are times, just reflecting on how unpleasant that former life was, I don't need to revisit that to be happy today. So sometimes fear keeps me from sinning. The fear of the consequence keeps me from sinning because I am reminded every once in a while that God knows my way. Whether it be right or whether it be wrong, my actions that being, God knows my way. And if I choose to go down the path of the ungodly, it will lead to my destruction and it will lead to my ruin, and that's not what I want. Now somebody says, it's not very good motivation. It may not be the best motivation. It may not be the most godly of motivations at times. But how many of us tonight would rather be obedient because of fear rather than disobedient because of no fear? Well, I would rather be obedient, and I would encourage you to be obedient even when that's not what your flesh wants to do. Even when you're struggling with what I want to do versus what I know God wants me to do, I would encourage you, if for no other reason, let the fear of the consequence keep you from sinning and let that motivate you to help you to do what was right. Now, as I say that, we've got to keep this in mind, that just as it is in our everyday way of life, it is also true in our spiritual life that sometimes the fear of the consequence does not motivate people like it should. You know, there are times that you appeal to people on the basis of right and wrong. Can I show you what the Word of God says? Can I show you what the Scripture says? Can I show you what God has already established in His Word? Can I show you what is right? Can I show you what is wrong? And that doesn't mean anything to them. We're living in a society that more and more they really don't care what the Word of God has to say. Okay, so you appeal to them on the basis of logic, and you appeal to them from that standpoint and that perspective, and that doesn't mean anything to them. And so you say something like this: don't you know that God's going to judge that? Don't you know that there's going to be some kind of a consequence in your life? Don't you know at some point that this is going to lead to problems in your marriage? Don't you know that at some point this is going to lead to problems in your own personal life? And for lack of better words, you try to scare them with the reality that God judges sin. He always judges sin, that we never get away with sin. And so you try to appeal to them on that basis. And it is amazing the number of people who still have no concern for their sinful way of life, their sinful actions, because you cannot even fear them into obedience. It's unfortunate, but such people exist. Now this evening, as the message comes to a close and this little mini-series comes to a close, I don't mean to end on a negative note, okay? But we dealt with the blessed man and the godly and the righteous in the first few verses, so we have to end kind of the way that the Scripture does, all right? I want us to be reminded of this, that one day we will stand before God. Every one of us will stand before God. It's just the way it's going to happen. We will give an account for the life that we lived. And God will reveal everything at that time. And I encouraged this last week, and I reminded us just a few moments ago, are we comfortable with how we might possibly even meet the Lord today? Because such a thing could happen, such a thing could take place. But it may not be that happens in the immediate future. It may not be that in the next week that we're standing before the Lord. We may have a long time yet before we stand before God. We don't know what the time frame is. So that being said, I would just encourage us to remember this, that the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but He also knows the way of the ungodly. Where I am at right now, spiritually speaking, and where you are at right now, spiritually speaking, God knows exactly where you are. Amen. It's not too thrilling, apparently, but God knows exactly where we are. He knows the direction our life is headed right now. He knows the decisions we are making. And if nothing else, that ought to scare us a little bit if we are struggling with obedience to God's will for our life. Because God knowing where we're at, if we are struggling and if we're giving into temptation, if we're not living the way that we're supposed to live, we've got to remember what that leads to. It leads to ruin. It leads to destruction. It leads to divine judgment. It takes us nowhere positive, no place we want to be. And tonight, if you're struggling even just a little in your walk with the Lord, if for no other reason to be right with God, to get right with God, to be made right with God, and to stay right with God, if for no other reason and if for no other motivating factor, let the fear of destroying your life and the fear of ruining good situations and the fear of experiencing God's judgment in your life, let that be a help to you when you would otherwise stray and do your own thing. Remember, God sees, God knows, and God, while He blesses obedience, he must deal with, and he must address sin. And let that motivate you. Let it help you. Let it challenge you. Whether we be young or whether we be old, let that simple truth motivate you to do right. Okay? So I'll stand this evening and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Fathers, we come to you this evening. Lord, I hope that in the recap, so to speak, of this thought and this truth, I pray that you'd help us once again to give consideration to it in our lives. God, I pray that when we are faced with those opportunities,